It's Rex number 3. We are trying a couple new things. We are going with a half-hour format.
30 minutes, Justin.
Thank you for translating for the English speakers in the audience. We will also want to give a big, big thank you to Outside Residential for providing us with our opening and closing theme music. If you guys are all interested in checking out Outside Residential's actual music, you can always look at myspace.com/outsideresidential, and I've done some work for Outside Residential, a couple of flyers for them, so you can also look at some of my artwork while you're there.
Wonderful and exciting artwork, might I say.
Well, thank you, darling. And also, so that you know, we are going to try a couple new things, and we'll just kind of let that unfold as we do today's episode.
Cool. So let's get right to it then, Justin. Over the weekend, I went to the Searchlight Mystery Cabin. Today, I went to the Huntington Library and Botanical Gardens in Pasadena. Mm-hmm. And it was really lovely. We had tea in the Rose Garden tea room with little sandwiches with the crust cut off and tea. It was very nice. And they have a brand new Chinese garden that they just made that's supposed to be very exciting, opened in February. However, I found it to be quite boring, and I like the Japanese garden much better, and that's my review.
Okay. And just in case anybody was wondering at this point, I'm Justin. That's Rachel. This is our podcast. It's called The Ruckus. Welcome to it.
Hello.
And the thing that you kind of breezed right past there is we spent the weekend at the Mystery Cabin.
The Mystery Cabin, but we're going to do the beep over the part.
That's right, because we don't want people to know where the mystery takes place.
That's right.
But we will post a couple pictures from the cabin. I think that the pictures describe it to its fullest extent. I don't think that we can really speak much more to it other than the fact that you can look out in any direction from this cabin in the middle of the desert, and you can actually see the curve of the earth. It is so far away from all other humanity.
It's a beautiful place.
It is a wonderful, beautiful place. That's basically all I have to say. Oh, and we saw an awesome movie called Be Kind Rewind.
How could I forget about Be Kind Rewind?
We saw that on Friday, which is the day that it opens. I am a huge fan of Michel Gondry. I love his music videos. If you guys have not seen his music videos, go pick up the DVD off of Netflix or from your local dollar video store. Or if you like paying more, go to Hollywood Video. Or if you like paying more and getting your movie censored, go to Blockbuster. But do pick it up. It's some of the most amazing, brilliant music videos you will ever see in your life. Director Michel Gondry and his new movie, fabulous. Completely fabulous. No surprise.
I found it to be whimsical and sweet.
Yes. And you know, Rachel, I was on YouTube today, and they have part of the movie. Everybody who's seen the trailer knows this, so, you know, minor spoiler. They recreate movies, right? Well-known movies. The characters in Be Kind Rewind recreate them on, like, a budget of zero and a handheld camcorder, so they all look really cheesy. Well, if you go onto the website, or if you go onto YouTube, Michel Gondry has actually recreated the trailer of Be Kind Rewind with himself doing this process to his own trailer, where he plays all the parts of Jack Black and everybody else who's in the movie. It's just him by himself sweeting his own movie trailer.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait to see this.
It is so awesome.
Yay!
All right. Would you like to start, or would you like
Sure, I'll go ahead and I'll start.
All right, go ahead.
Have you heard, Justin, that there's constant membership turnover among American faiths?
No, I haven't. I'm not even exactly sure I know exactly what that means.
Well, what that means is that Americans, they change jobs, they change where they live, they change spouses at higher rates of turnover than they ever have before, and now they also change religions at higher rates of turnover than they ever have before.
Really?
Yes. 28% of American adults have left the faith of their childhood for another one, this study shows.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
And I'll tell you why it makes sense. We live in a time where we are just exposed to so much more information than the people before us, and we're exposed to so many more ideas that it might have been that the people of the 40s and the 50s, they bought into Christianity because that's all they knew.
Right.
And they might have not had that other information readily available. You know what I mean?
Oh, because of the information superhighway and because there's so much information coming at us more rapidly than ever before?
Well, I mean, I think that the information superhighway, the internet, if you will,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, the stuff that's available to us on television, the stuff that's available to us over the radio, I think has changed over the years. You know, we have more awareness of other ways of thinking. And I think as we become more aware of that, our options are open. You know, people might not stick to, you know, what their parents and their grandparents believed if they know that there's other things that make more sense to them.
I agree. I also think that socially, it's a lot less taboo to change your mind about what it is that you're going to believe. I think that before it was unheard of socially. If you went and hung out with your friends, you know, maybe you went to the pub or something and had a non-alcoholic beer. and they're like, "What's up with you, Justin?" And you were like, "Well, I'm no longer Protestant." They'd completely flip on you, you know, back in the 50s. But I think that now, you know, they'll high five you. Well, but you know what I mean? Like, they'd be like, "Oh, okay, well, you know, that's cool." They'd maybe have a conversation with you about it. I even think that you and I, our generation's parents, would be more open to hearing that we've flipped religions around than perhaps our grandparents.
Well, I can tell you with absolute certainty, my father would not care at all what religion I chose. He would be supportive of me no matter what it was, unless it was, you know, something harmful.
You have to agree. My mom would certainly have an opinion about whatever it is that I did. But overall, you know, if you're happy, that's what's important would
right,
pretty
right,
much
right.
be how she felt about it.
But
no deep concern about my soul.
Right.
You know.
But my grandmother, on the other hand, if you're happy, then you're probably blowing it with God.
Right.
So she would be deeply hurt to know that I was not a devout Catholic.
Do you want to hear what of all the different religions that flipped around back and forth and gained and lost membership during this survey so that they could tell how many, you know, the percentage of people that changed?
This is in America?
In America. Do you want to guess what the category is that won the most gain in percentage over time?
Okay, most gain. Buddhism.
No, unaffiliated.
Oh. Well, that kind of seems like it shouldn't count, really.
Well, it's people who regarded themselves as religious, along with atheists and agnostics. So it's kind of a strange category, actually. Sort of catch-all
kind
of category. But
yeah. The religion that has the most is air breathers. You know, it doesn't seem to count, really. Or, you know, and if we were being honest about it, you know, you and I had this conversation just a few weeks ago. The religion that we all believe in, no matter what our secondary religion is, the monetary system.
Yes, the idea of money is something we all subscribe to. It's true. Just like 99.99% of us all subscribe to the money idea.
Yeah, except for the one person who's declared his own country in Montana somewhere and
he's eating roots.
Exactly. So, does it tell you who's lost the most?
No, but there are other interesting findings. The highest rates for marrying within one's own faith.
Mormons.
That is 83%. Number two. Number one.
Jewish.
No, Hindus, 90%.
Oh, okay.
That makes perfect
sense.
Yeah,
yeah. Hindu didn't even occur to me as, like, a religion that a lot of people are in the United States, but I guess they are. We're actually incredibly fortunate that we live in a place that's so diverse that we see a lot of this and that we are around a lot of people from a lot of cultures. And as a matter of fact, Long Beach is, we call it the city of diversity. We have the number one Cambodian population outside of Cambodia. I mean, we see people from every kind of walk of life, so we have it all around us. But I think that for people who live someplace like Ohio, where I grew up, mm-hmm. they might have a little harder time switching to one of these, you know, kind of fringe religions outside of what, you know, mainstream America is used to seeing.
Because they're just not exposed to it. They're not exposed to those people.
Exactly.
Yeah, I can see
you know,
that.
Like today, when I was in the bank making a deposit, I was two people behind a Buddhist monk making his deposit.
Was he in his saffron robes?
Absolutely.
So pretty.
Yes, and I see them all the time walking around in Long Beach. I've never seen a monk in Ohio anywhere.
No.
You know, but you see them all the time here.
What's fun about living in this town is that, you know, you're like at Vaughn's and you're in the ice cream section. And you look over and the guy who's opened the refrigerator door to your right, it's a monk with sneakers on,
right.
in his saffron robes, bald head. He's grocery shopping at Vaughn's. And it's just freaking hilarious and awesome and so strangely out of place, but wonderful. And that's all I have to say about that.
You're absolutely right. That is one of the things that I really enjoy about Long Beach. And that's going to be our topic today, is talking about Long Beach. So let's go ahead and get right into the topic.
Long Beach.
Long Beach, California. Not Long Beach, New York. That pesky place that comes up every time you try to look for something in Long Beach on the internet. All of a sudden you're reading about Long Beach, New York. But Long Beach, California is what we're talking about today.
What Snoop Dogg refers to as the LBC.
Sometimes I've heard the gangsters refer to it as Strong Beach.
Mm.
And I saw somebody's MySpace page that called it the wrong beach to mess with.
Awesome.
We have a lot of famous people from Long Beach, a lot of bands people have heard of. I don't care to get into them, though, because that's not interesting to me.
One of the least interesting things about Long Beach to me is the famous people that are from Long Beach.
Besides Snoop. Because everybody knows that Snoop's from Long Beach.
Yeah.
Rachel actually went to school with Snoop.
I did.
Yeah.
And Cameron Diaz.
Did you ever eat lunch with Snoop and Cameron at one table at the same time?
No.
How crazy would that have been, though?
That would have been awesome.
Did you ever have any kind of interaction with either of those people?
No, I didn't directly. I had friends who were friends with both of them, but I did not directly interact with any of them.
Let's name some of our favorite places in Long Beach. You want me to start, or do you want to start? Because I've already got one in mind.
Well, you should probably start, because it takes me a while to think of these things.
The Long Beach Public Library.
Of course.
I've been to the LA Public Library. It pales in comparison. It looks nicer. It's certainly got a lot more books, but none of the ones that I want to read. And certainly the music selection is horrible compared to the Long Beach Public Library. We have an awesome music selection here. I really can't even begin to say. I mean, there are people who I know are listening to the same kinds of music that I am. And we're talking about like stuff from all over the planet, all kinds of like interesting world music and indie music. And I got the new Beck there. I got the new Cigarros. I got the new Dunyan. I got the new, everything that comes out of Africa are off of, like, you know, the exact opposite of what you would hear on the top 40, you know, is what they're getting at the Long Beach Public Library. And if you want the top 40, they get that stuff too. But that's not what's interesting to me. You can also check out an engraver at the Long Beach Public Library. Little thing that'll engrave right into metal. I've come to know all of the librarians. I don't know all of their names, but I do know all of their faces, and they all know my name because, you know, they got to look me up every time I come in because I've got stuff on hold.
Mm-hmm.
Nice people are librarians. One of them is not nice, but, you know, there's like 40 of them, and the other 39 are terrific.
One of my favorite things about Long Beach, which I don't believe that you and I have done together yet, Justin, so we may need to do this, is the outdoor antique market at Veterans Stadium, the third Sunday of every month. It's like a swap meet, but it's all antique and vintage dealers. It's cool.
I've driven past it a few times. It's right by the community college.
It's right by the community college in Hartwell Park. It's on a football field. It's football field in size, and it's really super neat. It opens at 5:30 a.m. and it closes at 2. And you have to pay like $10 for admission, but you can get coupons. You go through, and there's just wonderful, wonderful vintage stuff. I mean, just anything, furniture, jewelry, cameras, antique photos. And what's really neat, you know, if you're like me, you just kind of like old stuff. Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily have to own it all, although you want to, but you don't have to. You just like to look at it, and it's curious, you know. And the people that sell this stuff, they know about it. So, you know, when you go up to the booth and you see some kind of weird-looking military medal and you're like, wow, that's cool. And all you say is, that's cool, but the guy behind the counter gives you the entire, you know, it's like Antiques Roadshow.
Right.
This amazing history of why it was made, when it was made, what people did with it, what's significant about it. And so it's just wonderful fun. I love it. So tell me, Justin, where is your favorite place to get a haircut in Long Beach?
I'm glad that you asked. My favorite place to get a haircut in Long Beach is it's a place called Syndicate. It is like an old-timey barbershop, but the guys who work there, who cut my hair, are actually kind of young guys, and they are covered from neck to toe in tattoos. Not a lot of face tattoos, I don't think. But they're all rockabilly guys. All of the magazines on the shelves are all like girly magazines and Barracuda and Maxim and Playboy and Penthouse. And it's just dudes hanging out. It is totally like, I've never had that experience before I went to Syndicate of like going to a barbershop and hanging out and people just like yapping and shooting the shit and hanging out and listening to music.
They do usually have great music playing. I remember that.
They always have great music playing, and it is a really fun place to just hang out. And as a matter of fact, last time I got my haircut was about a week ago, and one of the guys who worked at a place next door just came over just to hang out. It was totally like in the movies, you know, like I never saw Barbershop, that movie, but I imagine it was probably pretty similar to that. At the very least, it was kind of like remembering Coming to America?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot like that.
Cool.
Where it's just dudes hanging out and talking about dumb things. So it was a lot of fun.
And there's been a sprouting up of many old-timey barbershops in Long Beach in the past 5 years. So it's kind of a neat trend in haircutting.
Oh yeah, yeah, and they do like the straight razor and the hot gel and everything, and then they like, I get the guy who like fans my head, so that, like when I get the aloe, it kind of like, you know, the tingly thing. And dude, I've never paid a lot of money for a haircut, and still I don't. It's like 20, you know, with the tip, it's like $24, so it's not a lot of money, but it is certainly worth it. It is worth every penny. I mean, I've never had an experience of like getting my haircut and thinking like, that was a really cool haircutting experience I just had.
It's worth it if you're getting pampered and you're having a good time and they create an experience for you and you feel comfortable. Especially, I think, for a guy to feel comfortable at a, you know, getting their hair cut.
I've never had a barber shop before, a Syndicate, where like I was even interested in talking to the people who work there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's very much just like, yes, off the sides, number two, thank you. I turn into like a haircut automaton. You want me to shoot you one now?
Yes, please.
All right. Where is your favorite place to eat breakfast?
My favorite place in Long Beach to eat breakfast currently is the Omelet Inn.
Let me check with the judges. You are correct.
The Omelet Inn is on 3rd near Pine, and it's in downtown Long Beach. And they have a lot of egg dishes, which is really neat. They have like a create-your-own omelet and create-your-own scramble where they They just list these wonderfully scrumdiddlyumptious ingredients, and you can just decide what you want in your scramble, and it's awesome. They also have these really great selection of vegan meat products, like veggie chorizo and sausage and bacon. And they're actually the tasty kind. Like, they're not the kind that tastes like sawdust, you know?
Yeah.
With seasoning. Mm-hmm. Like, they taste really delicious. And the staff there are all very cute. They all seem to be maybe, like, their family members. It seems to be, like perhaps a Mexican family. And they're really cute and nice and sweet. And I love that place.
You know, when we first started going there, they had some sort of satellite radio station thing, and every time we came in there, and we were going there like once a week when we first started going there regularly, we would be the couple who came in and said, could you change it to the 80s station, please? You remember?
Yeah, I do. I remember that. That was part of our ordering process. And we'd battle over who would ask because we were so embarrassed.
Nobody wanted to ask, right?
Nobody wanted. But I know I dearly wanted the 80s station because it was freaking awesome.
Well, it got to the point, too, where we'd look sheepishly at our waitress, and she'd be like, do you want me to change it to the 80s station?
Yeah. See, they're cute. That's why they're cute. The last thing I'm going to say about the Omelet Inn is if you're visiting, you should definitely check it out for breakfast, and very affordable. I think the two of us usually have breakfast for about $14. That's with coffee, too. So that's not bad.
Yeah, yeah. That is certainly, it's nice. It's affordable. There's other places in Long Beach to get breakfast, but those other places, they stack the plates right on top of each other with the food on the plate. And that is kind of disgusting to me.
Yeah, and there's lipstick around the mugs, and there's hairs, and nasty.
Do you have one for me?
Where is your favorite place, Justin, in Long Beach to shop for music?
Fingerprints.
Fingerprints is world famous.
Is it really?
In Long Beach.
Well, you know what? I know that you say that in jest, but they actually do get some pretty cool bands to come in and do in-store performances. And if you guys saw this place, it is not a big store at all, and most of the space is occupied by shelves of music, so there's not a lot of room to stand around. But, like, they've had Rilo Kiley there, they've had Ween there, they've had, like, all kinds of big-name bands come into their record store, and they will put out a Live at Fingerprints album that you can buy there. So I've never intentionally come to Fingerprints to see a live performance. I have come in while there was a live performance happening, and that's always cool. But the thing about Fingerprints that is actually really cool is that those people who work there, they're just like the dudes in High Fidelity, except some of them are nice.
Yes, that's true. It's a very High Fidelity feeling kind of shop. And they're sort of... see, I hesitate to say this because, you know, they may listen to this, but... and I know some of them, but... some of them sort of have this lofty, I'm so much cooler and hipper than you, and I know so much more about music than you kind of thing. So when you approach them, you should approach them on your knees.
Well, you know what? If you keep it real general, they won't know which ones you're talking about. Because, you know, I've had experiences where I've come in there and I've been like, finally, a record store where the person knows the band that I'm talking about. You know, like... you cannot go to Tower Records and ask for a Juana Molina record and have the people behind the counter know what the fuck you're talking about. Well, you can't go to Tower Records at all now because they're closed. But you know what I'm saying. Like, you cannot go to a record store, like a regular Sam Goody or whatever there is out there, and ask for Tina Raiwin and have the guy behind the counter even know how to spell it, you know? So I love that about Fingerprints. Like, I love the fact that those guys are huge music nerds. And I have bought stuff on their recommendation based on stuff that I've bought. You know, like, they will look at my stack of records and be like, or I'm sorry, CDs, and they will suggest other things. And I have gone and picked them up based on their recommendation. So, yeah, I love that music store. And the fact that I'm kind of a music nerd, I think kind of helps me in that, you know, I'm not coming up to the counter with Barry Manilow. So they're a little more open to being helpful.
Well, that's the thing, is that I come up to the counter with my Bee Gees and my, what the hell is that chick's name? my Nelly Furtado, and I get little smirks, you know, little snarkies, but that's okay. I guess I deserve it. So fingerprints, you know, if you're ever visiting Long Beach or if you're a local of Long Beach and God forbid you've never heard of fingerprints, it's unbelievable if you haven't, but you should definitely go. And if you're visiting, you should go because it's a great shopping experience.
Who do you think lives in Long Beach that has never been to fingerprints?
Oh, some 82-year-old decrepit man, probably, I would imagine. But no, I think it's possible that there are people who get up in the morning, go to work and come home and never leave their house and don't know that there's fingerprints.
No, you're right. I bet you people who are just into pop music.
Maybe.
Okay. So, Rachel.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite gay bar?
Ah, yes. Long Beach has a wonderfully healthy, thriving gay population, and we live in the gay ghetto, actually, of Long Beach. My favorite gay bar in Long Beach, this is a little bit hard, actually, because we recently took a tour of gay bars, and they were the ones that we frequented anyway, because they had good karaoke. But we went on Christmas, and oh my gosh, the Christmas decorations in some of these places were so fantastic.
Was it actually on Christmas when we went?
It might have been Christmas Eve, actually.
Yeah,
I think it was Christmas Eve.
It was,
yes,
right around there.
It was.
So the first place we went was Broadway Cocktail, which is always a favorite with us. I think it was Broadway Cocktail, wasn't it?
I think we went to the Falcon first.
Okay. The first place we went was the Falcon.
Mm-hmm.
And they had all of this, like, ripped up little white pieces of plastic all over the floor to look like snow.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that?
I do remember that.
And a lot of it was really filthy.
Yes.
But a lot, you know, it still kind of looked like snow. And that was a good time. We had a lot of fun at the Falcon. Then we went to Broadway Cocktail. And then we went to the Silver Fox. And I think, and we stopped by the Mine Shaft.
Yes, the Mine Shaft.
And I do not think we stopped at the Brit.
We did not. We bypassed the Brit. We went to O'Malley's, which is not gay at all. But and then from there, we grabbed a taxi to the Silver Fox.
Which has a phenomenal karaoke book, by the way. They've got every single song you could possibly want to sing at karaoke.
It was a feel-good place. I really liked this. It had a good vibe, and people were happy there. A great party atmosphere there.
So if you are a gay person, or if you are not a gay person, I highly recommend going to the Broadway Cocktail on Broadway or the Silver Fox. If you have any hesitation about going to a gay bar, Broadway Cocktail is probably more your speed. But if you're into like just being around a lot of people who are a lot of fun and really loud, Silver Fox is the place for you. That's kind of a younger crowd, don't you think?
Yeah, it seems to be a younger crowd, very hip and very openly gay. And it's actually really cool. I mean, you know, if you're cool with people who are gay, it's actually really cool to be around people who are in a great mood and really excited about being in an environment where they're accepted and, you know, and loving. And it's pretty neat, actually. I like the Club Broadway, too, which is a lesbian bar on Broadway and Redondo. It's not like a hip party bar, but the people there are really nice, and I like it there.
What's your favorite non-secular bar? I don't know if that's the appropriate adjective, but I've heard somebody at church use that as a, you know, when they're talking about not church-affiliated.
I have two. It depends upon my mood. But if I'm in the mood for having fun, then it would be the Caserah. I love the Caserah. That's also got a mixed crowd. It's pretty mixed. There's a lot of gay people. Sometimes there's not. It depends. A lot of hipsters come in on certain nights. It depends upon each night's a little different in terms of what DJ is playing and what theme is happening. They have a night on Fridays called Release the Bats, which is a goth night, which is fun. And I also like the House of Hayden, which is a little bit different.
I actually do not like the House of Hayden.
I know you don't.
I do like the way that it looks. I like the bartenders. I like the people who work there, and I like the people who have built it. Do not like the patrons very much. Do not get along with a lot of people in the House of Hayden. As a matter of fact, most of the bad experiences I've ever had in a bar have been at the House of Hayden.
Well, that's a shame. We did have fun there on Halloween.
We did. We did indeed. We did indeed. And I don't know if the patronage has changed or if I've changed as a person, but I know that when I've been there in the past, that's the kind of place where there's a lot of dudes, you know, scratching their junk and wanting to fucking pick a fight with me. I don't really get that at other bars in Long Beach.
Okay. Well, being female, I've never had that vibe there, but I won't deny it because I just don't know.
Oh, that's not true. Somebody tried to get in a fight with me at Alex's once.
See, that I can see happening.
Yeah.
Totally can see that happen.
Oh, yeah. There's all kinds of people at Alex's. Yeah. Alex's bar is actually a famous bar. If anybody saw the movie Tenacious D and The Pick of Destiny, all of their performances in that movie are in Alex's bar. And as a matter of fact, Alex is in the background of some of those scenes where Tenacious D is rocking. And you can see Alex behind the bar with like his arms crossed. And when everybody hates Tenacious D at the beginning of the movie, you see him like kind of like throw his hand at him and kind of like, who the fuck are these guys? And then later when they come back and they're awesome, you see him with his arms crossed still, but he's like nodding his head because he's loving it. So if you live in Long Beach and you've ever been to Alex's bar, then you know who Alex is. And, you know, watch a movie, look for Alex.
And I think that may well conclude our review of Long Beach for the moment. But certainly there are more themes and places to visit, which we will do for you in later episodes.
Yeah, maybe we'll get a little more in-depth in some of our favorite places. Go start a ruckus. Snoop.